B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Samach Dalet. We're going to start in the Mishnah, approximately in the middle of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, HaPesach Nishchat B'Sholish Kitois. There was a special mitzvah we're going to learn in a Pasuk that the Korban Pesach should have been brought in three groups. All the people that were eligible, all the people that could and should have brought the Korban Pesach should be split into three groups. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, the fact that the Pasuk says that the Korban Pesach should be brought with a Kahal and with Adas and with Yisrael, which are all terms of a community, a group, a large group of each being at least 10. So you see, well, the Gemara is going to discuss how many you need in each group, but Kahal is one, Eido is one, Yisrael is one, and this seems to teach us that the Korban Pesach should be brought in three groups. Nichnas Okat Harishayna, the first group of people that went into the Beis HaMikdash in order to offer the Korban Pesach, they would come in, Nismali HaZora, the HaZora would get completely full, Noalu Dalso Yisho HaZora, and the version we have here in the Mishnah, which is going to be discussed in the Gemara, is that Noalu, they would close the doors of the Azara, and then they would start doing the Shechita, they would Shecht, and while Shechting, the Tiku, V'Hariu, V'Tiku. They would blow a Tekiah, and a Teruah, and a Tekiah. HaKoyanim Oimdim Shurois Shurois. There were rows of Koyanim between where the people were Shechting the Korbonis and the Mizbeach, U'Biyodeim, and in their hands were Bezichei Kesef, were bowls of silver, U'Bezichei Zov, and bowls of gold, shuro shekulo kesef, kesef, v'shuro shekulo zov, zov. There was one row that was completely silver, another row that was completely gold. Lo hayu mu'ravim, they would not confuse, there wouldn't be any single row that would be using also the silver bowls, also the gold bowls. V'lo hayu lebezichin shulaim, and these bowls that were used, they were the types of ladles or types of bowls that were used to collect the blood coming out of the neck of the animal, and on these bowls they would not have a shulaim, a wide base, shemo yanichum, in fear that if they would have a wide flat base, then the kohanim would put them down, v'yikrosh hadam, and whilst waiting possibly for the next korban to be shechted, they would put this bowl down, and in the meantime the blood would congeal and they would not be able to sprinkle the blood onto the mizbeach. Therefore the bowls that were used, they did not have flat bases, they didn't have a wide base, and therefore they would constantly have to remain in the hands of the kohanim until the zrika was done. Shochat Yisrael, anybody, even a Yisrael, was allowed to do the Shechita. The Shechita did not have to be done by a Kohen. V'kibel HaKohen, but from Kabbalah and on, the Avodahs had to be done specially with the Kohen, the Kabbalah, the Hilocha, and the Zrikas Adam. The Kohen would receive the blood in this bowl from the place of the Shechita. Nosnu L'Chaveri, the Kohen that was receiving the blood would give it to his friend, to the Kohen next to him. V'Chaveri L'Chaveri, and the Kohen next to him would give it to the Kohen next to him. And it would get passed along. This was done to save time. Also, Baroiv Om Hadras Melech, we're going to see in the Gemara, that the blood was passed from the place of the Korban to the Mizbeach from one Kohen to the other. And the last Kohen, the one closest to the Mizbeach, is the one that would sprinkle the blood onto the wall of the Mizbeach. Mekabelis Hamoli, each Kohen, who he would be receiving a bowl full of blood from one Kohen and passing it on to the Kohen on the other side of him towards the Mizbeach, and at the same time he would receive the empty bowl back from the Mizbeach and pass it back to where they were doing the Shechita to be used again. So Mekabelis Hamoli or Machzeres HaReikon, as soon as the person on one side of him was offering him to take the bowl, which was full of blood from the new korban that had been shechted, he would first receive the full bowl of blood, and only afterwards, umarzir es hareikon, only then would he take, with his other hand, he would take the empty bowl from the kohen that's coming from the mizbeach and give it back to where it came from. Kohen akori veitzel mizbeach, the kohen that was closest to the mizbeach, zorka izrika achas, keneged hayesoid, he would, so to speak, throw the blood onto the wall of the Mizbeach, what a single zrika, keneged ha'yisoid, and the condition was that the part of the Mizbeach, the lower part of the Mizbeach, it could be sprinkled onto the wall of the Mizbeach, providing it was part of the Mizbeach that actually had a yisoid, had a base to it. Not the whole Mizbeach had a protruding yisoid of an amma, a base of an amma high and an amma wide sticking out at the base of it. The only walls that had that were the Tzofin and the Meiriv. On the Mizrach wall, only one amma on the corner of Tzofin had a yisoid, and on the Dorim wall, only one amma on the corner of Meiriv had a yisoid. So anywhere there, the blood could be sprinkled. Yotzo kat reshoino, when the first group would leave the Azara, v'nichnasop kat shnia, and the second group would come in. Yotzo kat shnia, when they were finished, the second group would leave. Nichnasop shlishis, the third group would come in. K'maisa reshoino, kach maisa shnia v'ashlishis, exactly the same as what they did. Everything we've just learned that they would do. For the first group, the second and third group would do the same. Koru esa halil, each group, whilst they were doing the shchita, they would read the halil. Im gomru, I'm saying whilst the kohenim were doing the shchita, the levim would sing the halil. Im gomru, and if they would finish the whole halil, shonu, they would repeat the halil again. Vim shonu, and if they finished repeating the halil again, shilshu, they would repeat it a third time. Afal pi sheloi shilshu meyamim, the kohenim were so fast with doing their work of the shchita that however large the groups were, they never said the halil three times. So Rashi in Sukkah says that they never finished the halil a third time. Tosfos says they never even started the halil a third time. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mimem shel kat shlishis lo higiu lo ahavti es kiyishma Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says that the third group, they were obviously the smallest group because most people would get into the first two groups. In the third group, they didn't even get once to the perek of ahavti kiyishma Hashem of halil, mipnei she'ama mu'otin, because the people who were gathered there to do the Korban Pesach in the third group were less than in the other groups, and the speed of the kohanim was such that all the shechitos of the third group was finished before they got to Ahavti in Halil. Says the Mishnah, kamaseu b'chol, exactly the same as they would do on Erev Pesach on a weekday, kach maseu b'Shabbos, the same was true if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, that they would, the shechita and everything that we just discussed was done the same way. Elo she'akeyanim adichen es ha'azara. On a regular Erev Pesach, the Kohanim would wash the floor of the Azara, and the way they would do that, they would block up the exit of a stream that was flowing through the Azara. That would cause the stream to overflow and wash out the whole floor. And they would do that not only on the weekdays, they would do that on Shabbos as well. Shelo b'ritzon chachomim, the chachomim were not so happy with the fact that they swept the floor of the Azara on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kois Hoyo Memale Midama Tarevus, that I suppose before they would wash away all the blood that had collected on the floor of the Azara, the Kohen would take a single cupful of the blood, Vazorka Izrika Achas, and do a Zrika onto the Mizbeach, Al Gabe HaMizbeach, and V'loi Hoidu Loi Chachomim, the Chachomim did not agree that this was advisable, needed, or was any use. And we'll see in the Gemara why they did that and why the Chachomim felt it was useless. Continues the Mishnah. Keitzad toilin umafshitin. We know that the Korban Pesach, after it was shechted, it would have to be hung up by its feet and it would be skinned. They would take off the hide from the animal and they would remove its skin to be able to get to the chozeh till they would expose the breast or the chest of the animal. They would then open it up and take out certain parts, the imurim, that would have to go on the mizbeach. So how would they do that? So unkliyos shel barzel hoyu kvuim b'ksolim. There were iron hooks that were fixed into the walls of the azara, uba amudim, and on pillars standing up in the azara. Shebehen toilin, and they would hang the korbonis, the animals, the sheep, onto these hooks. Umafshitin, and that way, when the animals are hanging on the hooks, they would be able to remove the skin. Kol mi she'ein le'mokim litlois u'lehafshit. Anyone who who his korban had been shechted but couldn't find an available hook to hang his animal and to take off the skin, then what would they do? They would take maklois dakim v'chalokim. They would take thin, smooth rods, hoyusham. They were there in the Azara, available for the people. Maniach al kisfoy, and they would put these rods on his shoulder, val kesef chaveri, and going across between his shoulder and his friend's shoulder. And since they had then a bar going across their shoulders, they could then hang the animal on this rod, on this bar, and the toilet, it would hang the animal on it, umafshit, and that way they would be able to skin the animal. Rabbi Eliezer maintains that Yud Dalet Shecholiyes b'Shabbos, if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, and Rashi says they were not allowed to prepare these rods, and other Mefarshim bring proof that the issue was not the preparing, because they could have been prepared before, there was an issue of Muktzah, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses why there should be an issue of Muktzah, but either way, they preferred not to use these rods on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. What would they do? Maniach yodoy al kosev chaveroi, Ruvain would put his left hand on the right shoulder of Shimon, v'yad chaveri al kseifoi, and Shimon would put his left hand on the right shoulder of Ruvain. Now we have two, so to speak, two arms crossed between them, and each of them had a right hand available to do the skinning, v'toyle o mafshit, and then they would hang the animal onto these outstretched arms. And the way they would do that, they would hang the animal, they would make a little cut near the bone, near the knee, or one of the bones in the leg of the animal, and then they would hang the animal from there. And over here, what they would do is they would make this hole in the leg of the animal and put their arms, their hands through this hole, and that way the animal would be hanging, it would be suspended there, and they would be able to skin the animal. What would they do? Koroi, they would tear open the animal, v'hoitzi as emurov, and they would take out those emurim, those innards, those parts of the animal that would actually have to be put onto the mizbeach. Nosnu b'megis, they would put these parts into a bowl, v'ktiron al gabi mizbeach, and then this bowl would be taken up the mizbeach and thrown. The contents of this bowl would then be thrown onto the fire. Yotzo kat harishayna, when the first group left, and if it was Shabbos, they couldn't go out into Roshus Arabim with their korbonis, they couldn't go home. So what would they do? The first group that left, v'yoshvelo b'harabayis, they would gather on the harabayis, which was not Roshus Arabim, they could wait there until the end of Shabbos. Shnia, when the second group left the Azara, they would gather b'cheil, they would wait till the end of Shabbos on the cheil, which was an area around the Ezra's Noshim, outside the Beis HaMikdosh, an area between the Seirig and the walls of the Azara, and that is where they would gather. V'ashlishis, and the third group, b'mkoymo imedes, they would stay in the Azara and wait till the end of Shabbos, and then they could take the animals home and roast the animals and sit down to the Seder. Chashecha, as soon as it got dark, Yotzu, they would leave, Vetzolu es Peschem, and they would roast their Korban Pesach, each person in their respective places, and do what they had to do. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Ein ha-Pesach nishchat elo begimel kitois. We saw in the Mishnah that the Korban Pesach should, it was a mitzvah, it should be shechted in three groups. Rabbi Yitzchok says each group should be shel shloshim shloshim b'nei Adam. There should be at least 30 people in each group. My tam, what would be the source for that? Says the Gemara, at the same pasuk that the Mishnah brought, that it says kahal ve'edah ve'yisrael, that each one is 10, a congregation, a gathering, the community. These are all terms of groups of people which are a minimum of 10. And mesapkalon, and it's that we don't know. We have a doubt. I bevas achas, whether you need kahal ve'edah ve'yisrael in one time. That means not that you need three groups, you need a single group of at least 30 people in it. Or maybe you need three different groups, three groups, each of 10 people. Hilkoch, therefore, be'inon sholish kitois. Since it could be that you need three kitois, three groups, we have no choice, we need to split the groups, we need to split everybody into three. And because we don't know, it could be that there's a prerequisite that the Korban Pesach has to be shechted with 30 people in it, therefore each group has to be shel shloshim shloshim b'nei Adam. Why? Di bevas achas, Ha'ika. If the pasuk means that whenever you shecht the Korban Pesach, it has to be in the presence of Kohol ve'edov Yisrael, you have 30 people. Ha'ika, you have them. Ibazeh hazeh. But if the pasuk meant that you need three in separate groups, Ha'ika, you've got three separate groups. Hilchos says the Gemara b'chamishin. Even though Rabbi Yitzchok said that you need three groups of 30-30, that doesn't mean you need 90 people. It's enough with 50 people. Hilchos b'chamishin nami sagi. If you have 50 people, this mitzvah will be done. Da'ilit losim. 30 go in and they do and they do their korban pesach. Va'ayli asara v'nofka asara. And then another 10 go in, replacing 10 that are leaving. If they just went in a new 10, it wouldn't be seen or perceived as a separate group. So 10 would come out and another 10 would go in. And now, so to speak, it's a new group of people went in, a second group. And it's still being done in the presence of 30 people because 20 people from the previous group are still there. And then Aili Asara Vanofki Asara, another 10 would go in and 10 would come out. And that would represent the third group. And again, even though only 10 people went in, but there are 30 available there, present there, and therefore 50 people is enough. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Nichnasa Katri Shoino V'chulu. So we saw in the Mishnah that they would close the doors between one group and the next. Says the Gemara, Itma Abaya Omar. Abaya says, Nin Alut Nan. It doesn't say No Alu, they closed the doors. It says Nin Alu, the doors got closed on their own. Rava Omar, Rava says no, Nelin Tnan. Rava says the correct version is that they would close the doors and they wouldn't rely that the doors will close on their own. Mai Beinayu, what's the point of their argument? Ike Beinayu lemismech anissa. They're arguing, are you allowed to rely on a Ness? If you say Nin Alin, that means that the doors closed on their own, that meant that the Kohanim, or the people in charge, didn't do anything, they didn't do any ishtadlis to close the doors, which means they took the risk that everybody would pile in, so to speak, in the first group, and then you wouldn't have this mitzvah of splitting up the Korban Pesach into three groups. If you're relying on the doors to close on their own, that's a miracle. So you're relying on a Ness to assume and hope that Klal Yisrael would be split up into three groups. So Abaya Omar Nin Alut Nan. Abaya says that the doors closed on their own. Kamu Da'ailu Malu. As many as who wanted to come in, there was nobody there saying to the people, stop coming in, you wait for the next group. As whoever wanted to come in would push their way in. V'samchinon Anissa, and they would rely on a Ness that the doors would close and there would be a second and third group. Rava Omar, Rava says, Nayalintnan. Rava says that the correct version is that you close the doors. V'loisamchinon Anissa, we do not rely on a miracle. Asks the Gemara, V'hoditnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, this is a Mishnah in Idios, where there was a discussion that took place, and Akavya ben Mahalalel gave a comment that some of the Chachomim were not pleased about, and there's a discussion whether they excommunicated him, whether they put him into Nidui. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Chas v'sholem she'Akavya ben Mahalil nisnado. Chas v'sholem, it cannot be that Akavya ben Mahalil was excommunicated. She'ein azor nin eles al kol odom. That when the doors of the Azara closed on the groups on Erev Pesach, then the doors didn't close Al Kol Odom Bistral. There was not a single person inside the Azara when the doors closed that was Bechochmo Beyiraschet Kakavya ben Mahalil. That was as great as Akavya ben Mahalil, either in Chochma, in knowledge, or in Yiraschet, in fear of doing an Avera. So you see from there that the Mishnah there says, Nin Eles. The doors closed. It doesn't say she'ein ne'elin esu azara. It says she'ein azara nin eles. How do we understand that? According to Abaya, that's very good. Nin eles, they closed on their own. According to Rava, Rava says no'alu. He just says we didn't wait for a miracle that the doors should close on their own. How's Rava going to explain that Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Abaya mataritz letame. Abaya will explain that Mishnah according to his opinion. V'Rava mataritz letame. Abaya Mataritz Letame. How's Abaya explain that Mishnah? Ein ba'azara, there was nobody in the Azara. B'shal she'nin alo al kol odom b'Yisrael, b'chochmo b'yiraschet ke'akavya ben Mahalalil. At the time when the doors closed onto Klal Yisrael, there was no one in there that was as great as Akavya ben Mahalalil. Which is reading the Mishnah in its in the way it's written. Rava Mataris Letame, Rava explains or reads into the Mishnah, Ein Ba'azara, there was no one in the Azara, B'shosh and Ne'alin Oysa, at the time that they would close the doors. Al Kol Yisrael, B'chochmo B'yirashet, Ka'kavi Ben Mahalalil. Rava explained that Mishnah, it doesn't mean at the time when the doors closed, it means at the time when they closed the doors. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbonon, Me'oilom Loi Nismaich Odom Ba'azara. In spite of the huge amounts of people that squeezed into the Azara, no person ever got crushed in the Azara. Chutz mi Pesach echod, besides for one Pesach, one Erev Pesach, shehoyo bimei Hillel, in the times of Hillel, shenismaich boizokin echod, there was one elder person that got crushed by the crowds. V'yukorin oisoi, they called that year Pesach meuchin, the Pesach which crushed. And the Rambam Panu explains who this one individual was, why he was the one person in history that deserved to be crushed at that point. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Pam achas bikesh Agrippas HaMelech. At one point, Agrippas HaMelech litin einov beuchlisa Yisrael, that he wanted to set his eyes on the crowds of Klal Yisrael. He wanted to know how many people are there in Klal Yisrael. Omar li l'kein gadol. He said to the Kohen Gadol at the time, and the Tosefta's version is he said to one of the Kohanim, it wasn't necessarily the Kohen Gadol. Ten einecho b'psachim, I want you to put your eye on the amount of Korban Pesach that are being offered on Erev Pesach. So what did this Kohen Gadol do? Notal kulya mikol echod. From every Korban Pesach that was shechted, he would remove a single kidney. Of the two kidneys, he would remove one of them. V'nimtzu sham, and they found there, Shishim riboy zugei kilyos. They found 1.2 million kilyos, 1,200,000 single kidneys. Kiflaim kiyetu Mitzrayim, that's twice as many as the men that left Mitzrayim. And that's all besides chutz mi tomei v'shoyo b'derech rechoyko. That's besides for all the people that were tomei at the time and couldn't come and do the Korban Pesach, and besides the people that were too far from the Beis HaMikdosh to do the Korban Pesach. The minimum amount of people that would share a single Korban Pesach of these 1.2 million sheep that was shechted is 10 people. And so that means there were at least 12 million people that were eating from the Korban Pesach that year. Due to the amount of people that were eating and bringing the Korban Pesach, they would call it Pesach Mu'ubin, a very thick Pesach, and thick just meaning very large and a huge amount of people. Asks the Gemara, not al kulya? Could this Kohen Gadol indeed remove one of the kidneys of each Korban Pesach? Haboya Aktora. We know that it's one of the emurim that need to be put onto the Mizbeach. You can't remove them, they have to go on the Mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, Dehodon Maktilahu. After he removed them, to count them, he put them all on the Mizbeach. Asks the Gemara, V'oksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'iktiroi ha-koyen ha-mizbeicho lechem ishel Hashem. V'iktiroi is brought in a single tense, shelo ya'ariv chalovov shel zeh b'zeh, that the fats and the innards and whatever they murim had to be put onto the Mizbeach, had to be done in single tents, which means every korban has to be offered independently. You can't just take 1.2 million kidneys and put them on the Mizbeach at once if every kidney came from a different korban. Says the Gemara, tohodo maktilahu chodo chodo, that they didn't put them all onto the Mizbeach at once, they would put each single kilya onto the Mizbeach on its own. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, it says in the Pasuk, V'ktirom ha-koyen ha-mizbeicho lechem ishe l'reach nechoyach kol chelev l'ashem. And there it says, V'ktirom, that they would offer them up in plural, she'yehi kuloi ke'echod, that all the imurim of any single korban have to be put onto the Mizbeach at once. You can't, a few hours later, start putting one kidney after the next on the Mizbeach. Each kidney needs to be put onto the Mizbeach together with all the other things that were put on the Mizbeach from that same Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Elotfisa ba'alma. He didn't actually take them aside. He just took them temporarily in his hand, the shokil minayu, he just took them every Korban Pesach that was shechted. This Kohen Gadol took a single kidney. Ad Yovinon Le, until somebody else who was appointed for that would give him Midi Achrini, something else in its place, a little stone, a little pebble, a little bean, just something in place of it, and then he would return the kidney straight back to the rest of the Emurim of that Korban to be put on the Mizbeach. He would just remove the kidney temporarily until he had something else to replace it with. At the end of the day, he counted the amount of beans he had or the amount of stones he had and got to this huge number of 1.2 million. Continues the Gemara. Kohanim oimdim shurois v'chulu. The Kohanim would stand in rows. There were the rows that would use the golden bezichin and there were rows that would use the silver bezichin. My tama. Why did they each row have to be uniquely either gold or silver? Why couldn't they just mix and match? Is it because it might be that the Kohen is going to receive a golden bowl and in its place he's going to give back a silver bowl? And that would be an issue of Malin Bekoidesh Ve'en Meridin. We always go up in Kedusha, we never downgrade. And over here, I'm giving a gold bowl, I'm getting a silver one in return. That's a type of yurida. It's a lowering of standards. That's not appropriate in the Beis Hamikdash. Then what have you gained if it's all silver or all gold? Hochanami dilma shokli bar moson umayla bar meo. Even within the silver bowls and within the gold bowls, there were some that were worth 200 and some that were worth 100. Not every bowl is the same value. So you may be giving a very expensive bowl and receiving one that was less expensive. You have the same issue. What have you gained? Elo, the reason is not because of Malin Bekoidesh Ve'en Meridin. That wouldn't apply in a single korban. If you have a single korban and you're downgrading part of it, that would be an issue. But since each one of these bowls is a single korban and is not associated in any way with what's in the other bowl, there's no issue there of Malin Bekoidesh Ve'en Meridin. So why did they insist on having rows of silver, rows of gold? It looks nicer, it's more beautiful that way. When you see a whole row of Kohanim, and it was at tremendous speeds, they were passing and taking and passing, that, and when it's all in the same color, the same type of bowls, then it just beautifies the Avodah. Continues the Gemara, v'loi hoyu lebezichin shulayim v'chulu. We saw that the base of these bowls were not wide, they could not be put down without spilling, and that would avoid them being put down, which would risk the blood congealing and not being able to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Tonu rabbonon, kol habezichin shebemikdosh, all the bowls in the base of mikdosh, loi hoyu lem shulayim, they didn't have any wide bases. Chutz mibezichei levoino shelechem aponim, besides for the little bowls that were used within which they put the levoino that was sitting on the shulchan next to the lechem aponim a whole week. They would get offered on the mizbeach on Shabbos, and then they would eat the lechem aponim, the breads that were put on the shulchan the week before on Shabbos. And those containers, those bowls that were holding the levoino that were there all week, they did have a flat base. Why? Shemo yanichum. Because if it's not going to have a flat base, you're going to have to lean them onto the breads. You lean them onto the breads, it could crack or break the breads, and that wasn't allowed to happen. We know the breads were called lechem aponim because they had sides, and if you lean for a whole week this cup, this bowl of levoina onto the breads, then it might crack the bread. Therefore, it had a base, and it could just sit on the shulchan or wherever they put it. It's a discussion elsewhere exactly where it was put, but at least they would not be leaning onto the sides of the breads. Continues the Gemara. Shochat Yisroel v'kibel ha-koyin v'chulu. The Yisroel would do the shechita, and the Kohen would receive the blood of each Korban Pesach. Asks the Gemara, lo yisagya delav Yisroel? It has to be shechita by Yisroel? Is a Kohen not allowed to do the shechita? Says the Gemara, he gufa kumash malon. That's exactly what the Mishnah wants to teach us. The shechita bazar kshera, that a zar, that somebody who's not a kohen is also allowed to do the shechita, even though he's not allowed to do any of the avodos mikabolo ve'elich. Not allowed to do the kabbalah sadam, receiving the blood, the hoilocha sadam. He's not allowed to take the blood to the mizbeach, and he's not allowed to do the zrika sadam. V'kibel hakohen. And then the Mishnah says that a Kohen would receive the blood, Hokomash Malon, that Mikabola Ve'elech Mitzvah Sakuna. The Mishnah is coming to impress on us that from the stage of receiving the blood, it must be done by a Kohen, not by Yisrael. continues the Gemara, that we saw in the Mishnah, Nosne lechaveri vechaveri lechaveri, they would pass these bowls from one kohen to the next until it arrives at the kohen closer to the Mizbeach. He would then throw the blood onto the Mizbeach, onto the wall of the Mizbeach, and then he would return that bowl back to the beginning of the line, one to the other. The Gemara is asking, Shomus Mino, can we determine from this Mishnah, Hoylocha Shaloi Beregel, Havyaloha? We know there's a mitzvah. We learn it from Vehikrivoi that you have to bring close the blood from the place of the Shechita to the Mizbeach. That's called Hoylocha Sadam, taking the blood to the Mizbeach. Can we determine from this Mishnah that Hoylocha doesn't actually have to be done with one's feet? One can just pass them with one's hands from one to the next till it gets to the Mizbeach. Because over here it just says that it was passed from one kohen to the next. It doesn't say that any single kohen actually moved with his feet closer to the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma hu nayed purta. It could be that he, and there's a discussion in the Mefarshim whether it's just the last kohen or whether it's all the kohenim along the way or whether it's any one of the kohenim, but he would move a little bit towards the Mizbeach, so at least part of the halacha was done with one's feet. Ve'elomayko mashmalon. If so, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us with this whole lengthy description of how they would do it? What halacha is there to teach us there? Says the Gemara, Hoka mashmalon is coming to teach us Baroiv om hadras melech, that in glorifying the king, when done with the masses, it's a much greater level of glorification, and therefore this mitzvah was done with many kohanim. And Rashi says everybody was involved, all the kohanim were involved in doing the avodah, and therefore it was glorifying Hashem's name that there should be so many kohanim involved with bringing the blood from the place of the shechita until the mizbech. Continues the Gemara, Kibel es hamole u'machzer es hareikon v'chulu, that each kohen would first receive the full bowl with the blood before returning the empty bowl which it just received from the kohen that was coming from the direction of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, aval ipchaloi, but the other way not. You shouldn't first receive the empty bowl and then the full bowl. I mean, more accurately, you shouldn't first give away the empty bowl before taking the full bowl. Masei ye'alei le'Rav Shimon ben Lakish, this is proof to what Rav Shimon ben Lakish said. The Omer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, ein mavirin ala mitzvah. So when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, then don't delay. Don't pass that opportunity. As soon as you're being offered a bowl with new blood, and there's a mitzvah to help that blood find its way to the Mizbeach, the first thing you should do, even before giving away the empty bowl, first take the full bowl. That's the mitzvah. After you've taken the full bowl, you can give back the empty bowl, which is less of a mitzvah, or possibly no mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Kohen HaKoriv Eitzel HaMizbeach, then the kohen that was closest to the Mizbeach, he would be zorek the dam, he would throw the blood onto the wall of the Mizbeach. And we have to know that there are three ways that the blood of a korban is applied to the Mizbeach. It's either doing it bezrika, throwing it from some distance from the Mizbeach, you throw it, you chuck the blood from this bowl onto the wall of the Mizbeach. Or this shficha, where you put the bowl right next to the wall of the Mizbeach and you slowly spill it over. And then you've got applying it with one's finger, and that was only ever done with a chatos, that one would dip one's finger into the blood and apply it to the wall of the Mizbeach that way. The Gemara is now asking, Man Tana Pesach Bezrika. The Mishnah clearly says that you don't do shficha, you don't slowly pour the blood onto the wall of the Mizbeach, you throw the blood onto the Mizbeach. Who holds that way? Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda says, Rabbi Yosi Aglili. It's Rabbi Yosi Aglili in the following braisa. Detanya, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Oimer. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili is talking about a Bechir Behema, which was a korban Bechir. What does it say in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Es domom tizroik ala Mizbeach. Their blood should be tizroik ala Mizbeach. Ve'es chelbom taktir, ishel reach nichoach l'Hashem. And their fats, the imurim, the insides, should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Domoy loy nemar. It doesn't say his blood in single tense. Elodomom, their blood. Chelboi loinemar, it doesn't say his fats, the fats of that one carbon. Rather, elachelbom, it speaks about the fats, the imurim, the insides of theirs, which is in plural. Lomeid al b'choir u'maiser u'pesach, that since by Meiser and Korban Pesach, it doesn't explicitly say that you have to apply the blood onto the Mizbeach. And so we learn from here, from Dom Mom, that not only this Bechor Behema, one has to apply and put the blood on the Mizbeach, but so too Meiser, which is Korban, which is Meiser, and the Korban Pesach, Shem Tu'unin Matan Domim Ve'imurim Legabi Mizbeach, that there too, Maisa and Pesach, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in the Pasuk, but those Korbanis as well, one also has to put the blood on the Mizbeach, and also has to put the Imurim on the Mizbeach. And since in the Pasuk of Bechor it says, Tizroik, you should throw the blood, so you see from there that also by Korban Pesach, you have to throw the blood and not just pour the blood. Minolon de Tu'unin Yesoid, we saw in the Mishnah that you have to apply the blood, you have to throw the blood onto part of the wall of the lower part of the Mizbeach, but above where there's a base protruding, where the Yesoid is protruding from the Mizbeach. Minolon de Tu'unin Yesoid, where do you learn this from, that you have to apply the blood, you have to throw the blood onto the part of the wall that's above the base? Omer Belazar, Asya Zrika Zrika Mi'oila. It says over here, by Bechor, it says as Domam Tizrik, and that's the source that you learn that Korban Pesach also needs Zrika. And by Oilo, it also says Zrika. Ksiv Hocha as Domam Tizrik ala Mizbeach. Uksiv Hosom, and by Oilo, it says in the Pasuk, Vizorku bnei Aaron hakoyanim as Domoy ala Mizbeach Soviv. Again, Zrika, by the Korban Oilo. Ma oilo tu'uno yesoid, in the same way as we're about to learn a source for that the korban oilo, you have to throw the blood onto part of the mizbeach which is above the yesoid, af pesach nami ta'un yesoid, so to the korban pesach, one has to apply the blood on part of the wall which is above the yesoid. V'oilo gufo minolon, the oilo itself, how do you know that you have to throw the blood above where there's yesoid? Says the Gemara on Makro, it says in the pasuk regarding a different korban. It says El Yesoid Mizbech Oila. The pasuk goes V'lokach Hakoyin Midam Machatos Beetzboi V'nosan Al Karnuis Mizbech Oila Ve'es Domoy Yishpoich El Yesoid Mizbech Oila. And this is talking about pouring the blood on the Yesoid, on the base of the Mizbech Oila. Why is the Mizbeach referred to as Mizbeach Ha'oila? It already says that you apply the blood, Be'etzboi V'nosan Al-Kaunuis Mizbeach Ha'oila. Why does it say again, El Yesoid Mizbeach Ha'oila? It's coming to impress on us, Alma, that Oila Tu'uno Yesoid is just coming to impress on us that when applying the blood of the Korban Oila, it has to be above where the Yesoid is. And since by Oila, the blood has to be put above where there's the Yesoid, so too we learn from Zrika Zrika to Korban Pesach that you have to apply the blood on part of the wall that is above the Yesoid. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.